Well, I hope you'll hold your place there in Romans 8 as we'll focus on those first two or three verses primarily today. Christmas is a good time, of course, to remember the heart of the gospel, what we've been looking at in Romans the last couple of weeks in some of the services and at the candlelight and carol service, to remember the good news and the power of the gospel, the big picture. It might not be the text you might immediately go to think of in preaching at Christmas, but I think it's good to look at some different passages to really see what the message is all about. Because Romans really hits hard on the idea of that we're saved by grace through faith, of course. And the idea that, you know, a lot of times people tend to want to go to their religion, even if they're Christians, to kind of think that somehow they're saved by grace, but then they justify or keep themselves right by their good deeds and their morality. And they miss the real idea of what Christmas and Christianity is all about, and why the good news is so good. Now, Romans 8 in context, just to help you see that, is about the Holy Spirit. Because Christ has come, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and there's a new principle or law, Paul talks about, that lifts us up higher and transforms our lives spiritually. It's about the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit is talked about 19 different times in the one chapter 8. Just to give you a little context, and I like this guy James Boyce. He says in verses 3 and 4 here, Paul says there's no condemnation because what the law was powerless to do and that it was weakened by the sin nature, God did in sending his son. And Boyce says verse 1 is the very heart of the gospel, the good news. It's what Christmas is all about the spirit of life, Christ's own spirit living in us. It's behind the rebirth of every true Christian. And that Holy Spirit is the one that empowers our Christian lives. He sets us free from sin. Jesus Christ came to do that. But the question is, what is that all about? What will help us to better understand this good news of Christmas? The freedom that Christ came to give us. Number one thing that we see there is the application is to receive his grace. If you look in those early verses, and this is the idea that God sent his son. That's what Christmas is about. Receiving his grace, God sent his son. This is about the love of God in Christ and receiving that grace. 1 John 4:14 says it well. The Father has sent his son as the Savior of the world. Now, what Paul says here in Romans 8, if you look there, is that what the law was powerless to do, God did. That's what Christianity is about. By sending his son, that's Christmas, like us, but without sin, to be offered in our place as to condemn sin in order, he says, that the righteous requirements of the law might be met in us fully. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what the angels are rejoicing about in Luke 2. John 1 says this, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See, Paul says what the law couldn't do, the law's not bad, it's perfect. It reveals God's character, but it doesn't have the power to save us. And what the law couldn't do is change us. And it couldn't give us Christ. It couldn't give us a Savior. God did that, though, in sending his Son. And that's what Christmas is about. Because of the flesh, the sinful fallen humanity that we all have, it's impossible for the law to deliver us from our condemnation under the law and under God's wrath due to sin. Someone said the contrast here is between the failure of the law and the achievement of God who sends his son in amazing grace. See, freedom from sin can never be obtained by our trying to obey the law. R.C. Sproul said, what the law could not do, God did. Therefore, that's the gospel, he says in a nutshell. What our morality can never achieve, God achieved in sending his son. What our behavior and performance are incapable of attaining, God has attained for us. That's the good news of Christmas, the gospel. We can't, he can and has. He says it's that simple. So that's the first thing. Receive his grace. He sent his son. God's love. Number two thing here we see in Romans 8:1 and 2 is reflect on his person. That's what Christmas is about. He sent his son in the likeness of sinful man. We're going to talk about that. That's Christmas. This is not only the love of God, but the likeness of sinful man, of humanity. We need to reflect on his person. See, it's not just that God sent Jesus into the world. The good news of Christmas reminds us, doesn't it, that he came to be just like us, in the likeness of humanity. He came with a body just like us. Remember, he was born as a baby. He was born into the world in the likeness of humanity. Now, we have to define what that means. See, God didn't just send Jesus as an ambassador, as an angel, as a messenger. God sent him as one of us. Someone said, Jesus was truly man, God and man together, without sin. Our rescuer, he says, from sin's penalty and power must be qualified. In two respects, it has to be qualified. Jesus, it says here in Romans 8, had to be genuinely human, but he also had to be sinless. He was not corrupt by sinful nature like us. That's why Paul says in Romans 8, he was made in our likeness. He was like Adam, humanity, but he was unlike Adam. Because Paul doesn't say, does he, that he sent his son in the flesh in a condition of corruption. No, that's what the virgin birth is all about. He had to come in our likeness as a human, but without the corruption of humanity. That's why he says God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Meaning not in the identity of sinful flesh, but still Jesus became 100% human, remaining 100% God, so that he could then, this is where we're going, live perfectly in obedience and then die for us. Hebrews said he was made like us in all respects except without sin. See, this likeness, of course, is not just in mere physical human appearance. He was fully human with the same desires and struggles and temptations we face, but without the corruption of being sinful like us. And he never sinned. Someone said, in the incarnation, all that is proper to humanity was given to the human nature of our Savior, except sin. He was born, but born without original sin. Jesus was born as Adam was, in a sense, before the fall. Jesus was not in bondage to a corrupt nature, like every other person, you and I included, like that since the fall. So this likeness idea alerts us to the fact that though Jesus is a real man, which made him able to feel what we do, endure temptation and struggle and then die, he nevertheless did not become like us in regards to our sinful nature in that sense. He never sinned. 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it this way. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, those who trust in him. We're going to talk about what that means as we go through this. But that's the good news. That's Christmas. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son to be like us, made in our likeness, and live perfectly and die for us to give eternal life. Then, so we not only receive his grace, the love of God, he sent his son, not only reflect on his nature, the likeness of man, he was made in that, but we also, number three, rest in his finished work. And that's the fact that Christ laid down his life. God sent him in the likeness of man, Paul says in Romans 8, to be a sin offering. To be a sin offering. Rest in his finished work. Christ laid his life down. Now in the Old Testament, they all would have known this, right? When they read this, that sin offering is what they did in the Old Testament when they came sorrowful for their sin. They came broken and they were repentant over sin. And God would allow the animal sacrifices looking forward to what Jesus would do because they were repentant. But of course, we know all that pointed to what Jesus alone could do and has come in this world as a human to accomplish and live a perfect life and die for us, those who believe, and what we could never do. God sent his son to become human and then become that perfect ultimate sin offering that he alone could do because he is God, became a human without corruption, lived perfectly, and then died in our place. And he paid the debt. So the death of Jesus Christ defeats the legal requirements of the law that were fully against us. That's what Paul's getting at here. Christ had to become like us in the incarnation, being a baby, being a human, so that then he could be the perfect sin offering to pay the final price for our sin. Only in the person of his Son would God be able to turn his wrath against sin for our failure to keep the law, which is what we call propitiation, the big word for it. God has taken that wrath away. God has done this through Christmas, through sending his Son who took that sin payment in full for us, what we deserved. That's the heart of Christmas. That's the reason he came. And only through faith in Jesus Christ, who came and did that, can anyone be born again. Can anyone be saved? The Son came to be like us, without sin, as the perfect sin offering, Romans 8 says. And what does that accomplish? Well, that leads me to point number 4. Not only receive his grace, the love of God, he sent his Son, reflecting on his nature, the likeness of humanity. He came in the likeness of humanity. Number 3, resting in his finished work, he laid down his life. He came, it says in Romans 8, as a sin offering. Number 4, rejoice in your freedom. That's what we need to hunt. This is where Paul's really getting at here. This is the idea of him coming as that perfect sin offering to lift our burden completely of our inability to live up to God's law and being under God's wrath. Rejoice in your freedom. He lifts our burdens if we're believers. God, he sent his Son in the likeness of flesh to be an offering, what does Paul say in Romans 8? That he might condemn sin in sinful man, in his own flesh, as the perfect man, God-man, who never sinned. This is what he came to do. Gardner said this, but what was impossible for the law to do in sinful humans, God actually did for them in the man, Jesus Christ. That's the joy of Christmas. God condemned our sins in the person of his Son, who is the perfect Son of God, Son of man. Christ came in the flesh as a human, and he condemned the sin that binds us by taking that upon himself. Amen. Because Christ was sinless, his death passed the death sentence for sin against all believers. In Christ, in his human body, in the likeness of man, taking the curse that we deserve for the law, living in perfect active obedience, when he died on the cross, sin was condemned in his flesh. What the law couldn't do because it's powerless because of our flesh and our sinfulness, God did in sending his Son in the likeness of man. That's Christmas, him taking our place on the cross. If you don't get this, you miss all of it, of what the Christian message is all about. Because Christ was sinless, that death sentence is passed for all true believers. He sets us free from sin's power. Folks, that's why we sing about in hymns at Christmas time how he breaks the power of canceled sin. That's why we sing Joy to the World. His blessings flow because of this. He condemned sin in the flesh, meaning he was the perfect sacrifice for sin. Because though his life was identical to ours in our likeness, becoming like us, he did what we couldn't do. He never sinned. He was perfect in obedience to the Father. And then in his death on the cross and through resurrection, he condemned sin in his flesh. He was the perfect sacrifice for sin. So our pardon, if you believe in him, is complete. Someone said the very sin that guaranteed our condemnation under God's law and under his wrath. And if you don't know that here today, that if you're not a Christian and you're not free from the wrath of God, you are under the condemnation of his law and under his wrath until you believe in Jesus Christ. But you can believe in him and that wrath and condemnation be removed. This refers to our justification, what we call being justified by faith, by grace. God's work of condemning sin in Christ, God sent his Son that we might stand before God in perfect righteousness. If I have a book up here and there's a paper inside of it, no matter how torn and dirty and ripped up that paper is, if the paper's inside of it, you see the book. You don't see the ugliness of the paper. And when we're in Christ, if you trust in Jesus, he sees you justified by grace through what Christ did in your place in living as a human being and then dying in your place to pay for your sin. He sees you in him. He looks down and he doesn't see your sinfulness and your failures and your past or your present or future. He sees you in Christ. That's the mission God sent his Son on to accomplish in regards to sin. God condemned the sin of humankind in the perfect life, in the flesh, of the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ. So that now, what does Paul say? If you're in Christ, Romans 8:1, where's he started with? We know this verse so well, don't we? But do we know what it means? That if you're in Christ, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Why? Because sin has been condemned in the perfect life of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. And we trust in him and we're in Christ. If you condemn a building, that means it's considered useless right from that point on. It's worthless. Now, we're not worthless, right? But sin, God sees it as worthless, destructive. And Christ came in his amazing love to condemn sin in his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection, so that we who believe in him, we're now no longer under condemnation. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ. Jesus Christ came to do that for those who will trust, the whole world, yes, but and the elect. But he came for you personally as a person. He came as a man to take your place. And that's the simple truth of the gospel, the simple truth of the good news of Christmas. The good news is what the law could not do, weakened by our flesh. God did in sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's why he was born. That's why he came into this world, to go to the cross and die and rise. And what's the result? I like what Stuart Briscoe said. He said, having condemned sin in the flesh by his flawless, perfect 33 years inhabiting our humanity, he then assumed our sin on the cross. In dying for our sin, he made the most thoroughgoing denunciation of sin once and for all. I like that. God's law, folks, we understand, God's law is perfect. There's nothing wrong with God's law. It reveals his character. But it is powerless to save us from sin. And what the law couldn't do because of our flesh, God did through his Son. The weakness of the law is not in the law, but in us. If people are trying to, what I'm saying is this, if people keep coming to church services, even to Christmas services, and saying, I'm trying to do my good deeds, I want to be good, and God will love me, you know, not naughty, so he won't, you know. That is trying to live up to God's law, to think you can earn your way with God, and it fails. But that's not the message of Christmas. What the law couldn't do, God did in sending his Son. If you're dirty, you know, some, you go out, you've been out working and stuff, and you go in and your wife or your spouse sees you in the bathroom trying to clean your face with the mirror, you know, you think that would be weird? Get in the shower. The mirror shows you you're dirty. That's what God's law does. It points us to the Savior who God sent, to believe in him alone. Now, we love God's law. We'll talk about that a little bit. This is the message of Christmas. God's answer to the dilemma of sin eternally was that the perfect divine Son of God, Jesus, who's God. You know Jesus is God? He came, that Son of God, divine. He was born as a baby. That's Christmas. He became a man and a servant, fully God, fully man, to be a person in our likeness, but without sin, that through his perfect obedience to God's law, active obedience, he might then condemn sin in his flesh, in his life, death, and resurrection, that we're set free if we're in him. That's the good news. This is why the angel is saying, unto you a Savior is born today in Bethlehem, because of what he came to do. And that leads me to number five, the last one. Not only receive his grace, the love of God, reflect on his character or nature, the likeness of man. God sent his Son in the likeness of man. Rest on his finished work. He offered himself. Rejoice in your freedom. He came to condemn sin in his flesh. Number five, repattern your life after this gospel truth. And that's the idea of that Christ came to save us, to fulfill the perfect requirements of the law in those that are in him. So we don't do away with God's law. It's just we have a different view of it. He fulfilled. Doesn't Paul say that here? He did this, what the law couldn't do. He sent his son in the flesh, in the likeness of man, to be an offering, to condemn that sin in his flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be met in us who live according to the Spirit. You see that? He wants us to have, he came to save us, to change us. He came to have set us free from being under the wrath of God, under the condemnation of the law, but not so that we won't love God's law. True Christians love his word, but we don't live under the burden of not being able to live up to it. We're free from that because of what Christ did. And so we look to his word in a whole different way. The joy in his truth and in his law. All the requirements of the law were met in Jesus Christ in perfection, and he paid for our sin, but he didn't just take the penalty for our sin. This is what I call the ultimate gift exchange. You know, when I people like to do gift exchanges after Christmas, you know? This is the ultimate, eternal, nothing compares to it, gift exchange, where he takes all of our ugliness by faith, all of our sin, and he took it on the cross. But if we trust in him, we get all of his righteousness in obedience to God's law. We get all of his goodness. That's amazing, isn't it? If you trust in him, this is the ultimate gift exchange for all eternity. And that's why there's a new principle, as Paul talks about in Romans 8. Don't have time to break that down. But a new law at work in us through the Holy Spirit as we live in freedom in Christ. Because of what God the Father sent the Son to do, we now live under this new life, new principle, as the Spirit works in us in this freedom that we have. And this is what the incarnation is all about, Christ coming to live perfectly in our likeness, but never sin, and then take our place as the perfect human and sacrifice on the cross. Christ fulfilled all the requirements of God's law, died as our substitute, rose in victory, and then when we trust in him, all of our sin is taken by him on the cross, and all of his righteousness is given to us. And then the Spirit lives in us as we have this new freedom. And this is all for a clear purpose, that his perfect eternal life would be given to human beings through grace by faith, as the Spirit would live in us under this new law and principle, as he empowers us with a new love for God, a new love for his law, a new love for others, new hearts, if you will. This is what he came to do. He became a man and died so that the righteous requirements of the law would be fully met in us who are trusting in him, born again. Stott said, God condemned sin in Christ so that holiness might appear in us. Do you know that he saved you, that you'll be able to live fulfill the requirements of the law? Not to be saved, but as the Spirit works in you and you have freedom in him and you love him, that'll be fulfilled. That's why we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, this character change that comes in us. Why did God send his Son to become a man and bear that condemnation and the Spirit break us out of bondage? Verse 4 tells us that everything Christ did for us, his incarnation, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful man, his death and resurrection, get this, was all in order that we might live out a holy life more and more. Tim Keller said, whenever we sin, we're trying to frustrate the aim and purpose of the entire birth, life, death, and ministry of Jesus Christ. This is why Christ came. The thing he lives for, the purpose of his entire life, is to make us holy, to empower us, to change us so we walk in what God has called us to be. Now, we don't do it ourselves, but as we look to him and trust in him and Christ lives through us. Freedom from condemnation doesn't mean that we don't care about God's law anymore. Don't misunderstand me. No, we love it even more. We're just not under the burden of it, like I said earlier. So when we sin, we're more like a husband who wounds his wife and is sorrowful for it because of that sin. We don't want to hurt God. We love him and we love his law and we want to know his law, but we know we're no longer under condemnation for that sin and disobedience. And the Spirit is empowering us to live it out. That the good news of Christmas is the good news of now no condemnation for those who trust in Jesus. And the Spirit's living in us to help us rise above, Paul talks about here, the gravity of sin and be transformed. the principle of death and sin, because there's the new principle of Christ's life and righteousness within us. You know, some people, they look at Christianity as about piety or what we do for God, or some sociology, what we do for others, or some think it's psychology, what I get for myself. But Christianity is about what God did. Someone said, the Father sent the Son to teach God's truth, yes, to be a pattern for others, but Christ's primary task was to bear in his own innocent body the penalty for our sin. That's why he was born. That's God's mission. And he's done it in Jesus Christ, and those who trust in him are set free. Only through what God did in sending his Son and the resulting freedom can we no longer live under the flesh and under the condemnation of the law and be transformed and live in the power of the Spirit. But if you trust in Jesus Christ, that's what he came to do. God the Father sends, that's what Romans 8:2 tells us. The Son is sent. The Spirit then imparts the Spirit of sonship, empowering us in holiness, making what Christ has done real in our lives and our everyday experience more and more as we walk with him. And I could show you lots of passages about that. But that's the gift of Christmas, of Christ coming in this world, God sending his Son. He put his new life, this new principle in us to transform us. So Christ's own character is living in us. See, no condemnation doesn't mean we don't have any struggles. Of course not. That we don't struggle with sin anymore at all. No, but it means we have a new attitude. God is treating us as his children now. And that freedom from sin means that our lives are lived in this right relationship with God, as God is not ever holding things against us now. This is the ultimate gift of Christmas, the freedom and joy we have. Tim Keller said, for Christians, there is now no condemnation at all. It does not exist. Would you say you believe in Jesus Christ today? You need to know that for you as a Christian, it's not a thing of, well, I'm not under condemnation right now, but I could fall back into it, and then I could be okay, and then I might be okay. What this phrase means is there is now no longer any condemnation. Not for everybody, but for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the gift that never runs out. It keeps on giving. There is no condemnation for those who in Christ, because Christ came in this world, born as a baby, lived in perfection, condemned sin once and for all for those who trust in him, who are in Jesus Christ. And that's why there's such excitement. You might have come to church, or maybe you know someone like this, Christmas after Christmas. You don't get what the all excitement is about. Why are the angels singing? And you don't understand, you've never really come to understand the real freedom that Jesus Christ came to give those who look to him and trust in him alone and what he came to do. And I pray that you'll get it this year, that the Holy Spirit will be at work and you'll get what it's about. You might have been in church for many years, or maybe you know some people like this. I pray that we'll get why we sing joy to the world. And there is now no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation left, Paul's saying, if you're in Christ, because Jesus took it all to condemn sin in his perfect life, in his flesh, and through his cross, the cross and resurrection. I mean, how much rejoicing would there be if there was not just a vaccine for COVID found, but a cure or some other sickness? We know the cure for the curse of sin. Have you trusted in that Savior today? Are you sharing this message of good joy, of ultimate joy and peace in Jesus Christ, and no condemnation for those that trust in him? Because this is what Jesus Christ came to give us. Let's turn to him in prayer as we close. Gracious Lord, we come before you today. We're thankful as we celebrate Christmas today that we can focus on the real reason for the season, that there is now no condemnation for those of us that are in Jesus Christ, because what the law was powerless to do because of our sinful flesh, not because the law is bad in any way, it's perfect, but because of our flesh, Lord, you did it in sending your Son in the likeness of man and humans. without sin, to live in perfect obedience in our place and die in our place and rise to victory, that the Spirit might come and live in those who trust in Jesus alone. We pray that for those of us that are in Him, Lord, we'll grow in that great joy and that assurance that we have. Those that are in Him, Lord, that need that reassurance, I pray that they'll look to the Savior for that strength and the Holy Spirit, Lord, for that reminder and Your Word. And I pray, Lord, if there are any that have not come to know this Savior, they'll come to trust in Him alone and be born again today. We give You all praise and thanks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.